I started out with chapter 2 of James, verses 8 to 13. We will cover verse 8. I'm so ambitious sometimes. You'll see why. So, if is our subject today. Verse 8 says, "And if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, that is, you love your neighbor as yourself, you do well." He stood before the judge. He was accused of stealing, maiming, and almost killing. He had a defense, though. He said, "I didn't know that was wrong." What? What do you think the judge said? "Ignorance is no excuse before the law. But I was following a different law. Where I come from, that's okay." Sorry, you're following the wrong law. And that's what I want to look at today. I want us to see the right law, the proper law for the Christian to follow. It's called the royal law. Now, the royal law is not the Mosaic law. Oh my. No. The Mosaic law is not what we're talking about here. If we say we stay away from the terrible ten, for instance, you know the terrible ten? You know, and don't go with the girls that do. Stay away from those. And we don't love, Jesus says, you're following the wrong law. Well, the royal law is called by different names. The law we follow, sometimes called the royal law, as it is here. If you really fulfill the law, royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well, he says. Now, the word royal can mean primary. It's the royal one. It's the one we put on the top. It's the primary rule, the primary law. That's one way of looking at it. Another way is that it's worthy of a king. It's royal. It's the kind of law a king would have. It's a kingly law in that sense. Or it could be given by the king. I think that's the intention of the Mosaic law. It's the law given by the king. And the king, Jesus, is the covenant name. Jehovah is a covenant name, and Jesus is Jehovah. He gave the law. And that law, as we're going to see, can be summed up in those two commandments. Or it could be it's a royal law fit for a king and for his subjects who will rule with him. And I think that's very good because we are the future kings. That is, if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. And so if we are to be like Jesus, if we're going to follow Jesus' law and going to rule with him, you know, the law, if I'm going to rule, I must know what the law is before I can rule, correct? Well, we better get used to this royal law if we're going to serve in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's also called the law of liberty, and you can follow along, by the way, in your the notes in your bulletin. I've given you a whole passel of things, but follow along if you will. The law of liberty. In 125, he talks about that law of liberty, and he refers to the implanted word from verse 21. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, so in context then, he's one who receives with meekness the implanted word, verse 21. And it's really the gospel being applied to the life, the application of the gospel to our lives. So it's a law. In contrast to the legalistic law, it is a law of liberty. And it sounds like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? You know, a law of liberty. How can you have a law of liberty? Well, that's what it's called, the law of liberty. Or it could be called the law of Christ. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul called it the law of Christ. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He also calls it the law of faith. In Romans chapter 3, verse 27, he says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By of works? No, by the law of faith. That's a law, the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude then that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. See, so it's a law of faith. It's also called the new covenant. In Hebrews 8 and verse 8, we read this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, I mean, the house of David, or the house of Judah. A new covenant. So it's all those things. It is a new one. I want to add one. This is F in the outline. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's in Romans chapter 8. Now you know Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Don't you? There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. This is verse 2. For, the word for, because. How come there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus to those who are in Christ Jesus? Well, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. No condemnation. You cannot be judged because, that is, you cannot be judged with respect to being condemned, because we have this Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So, it's called a lot of names. Now, it is not the Mosaic Covenant. We are not under the Mosaic Covenant. You may think that I have a little passion about this. I do. I am tired of people trying to live under the law. Remember, if you live under the wrong law, you'll still be judged by the right law. Now, I have a little thing here. This will get a little pedantic, but, you know, you have this in your bulletin. So if you can't see up here, look down, and you see where I'm pointing, look down and see what it is. The Abrahamic covenant was given in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now, if you want to turn there, that would be helpful. You see what we're talking about. God gave Abraham a covenant. Abraham, remember, was a worshiped the stars. He was a pagan, total pagan. And God appeared to him. We don't know that from Genesis, but we know it from Acts chapter 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, get out of your land, out of Ur of the Chaldees, get out of Iraq, and get over here into Israel, where you belong. You know? And so Abraham got out, and when he got into the land, God made a covenant with him. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now, I've given the little quotes from Genesis 12. He was given a land which I will show you. Get out of here to a land I will show you. God was going to give him a land. Now, that land promise is elaborated in the Palestinian covenant in Deuteronomy 30. Now, it gives the dimensions of the land in Genesis 15, 18 to 21. From the Nile to the Euphrates. I have a map, and I was going to bring it and didn't do it. But it covers from the Nile, the Gaza, it belongs to Israel. Well, they pulled out of there, but it belongs to Israel. From the Nile over to the river Euphrates in Iraq. That's a pretty big piece of land. Jordan and Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, all that belongs to Israel. The West Bank, of course, all that belongs to Israel. Then, the time of fulfillment, the return of Christ, when Christ returns. He offered it to them when he came the first time. You know, he came as Messiah. He came as King. That's why Matthew says in his first chapter, he traces him the genealogy all the way back to David. son of Abraham even. Why? Well, because God, Jesus Christ was offering that kingdom to them at that time. See? They didn't accept it. But they will at the return of Christ, and it will last for 1,000 years. They'll be in that land for 1,000 years. He also offered them a nation. The Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 7, is the elaboration of that. I will make you a great nation. Now, we talked about this one time recently, that they were only 70 people when they went down to Israel. They came out of there 2 or 3 million. You know, God gave them a nation, and they still have it. John Knox was standing before Bloody Mary, and she said, give me one reason to show the goodness of God and the power of God. And he said, Your Majesty, the Jew. That's it. How can you possibly have a nation, and there's no nation that has come together as that. You can scatter them all over the world, and still there are Jews. They're still Jews, you know. So they are a nation. The root is through David, through Solomon, through Joseph, and through Jesus. He is the king, the king of the nation. The time will be at the return of Christ. The duration will be for 1,000 years. Then he also promised them blessing. And the blessing was to come through the Mosaic covenant temporarily. Notice I've crossed it out. I found a permanent ink. Make sure it never wore off. If anybody finds this somewhere 100 years from now or 1,000 years, it's still marked off here. He didn't teach that it's a Mosaic. No, it's done. The Mosaic has been replaced by the new covenant, Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews chapter 8. I will bless you, Genesis 12:2. So the Mosaic covenant from 1450 until the seed should come. That's Galatians chapter 4, 1-4. And it was never intended to be permanent. The law was never given to be permanent. It was only from 1450 down to when Christ came, and then the kingdom would come, as far as the Old Testament was concerned. They didn't know the mystery of the church, which is now 2,000 years. Now, Mosaic covenant was not intended to be permanent. He says, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We're in this blessing part, see? In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is only Israel. Only Israel has the land. Only Israel has the nation. But we are in the part of the blessing aspect. Only in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed, and that includes us. So the new covenant says, God so loved the world. Not he just so loved Israel, he loved the world that he gave. That's Hezekiah 13:3. Okay? And this was ratified by the cross. You were awake, some of you. Some of you looking for Hezekiah. Ratified by the blood of Christ, and Israel will possess it when they accept Jesus. You know, some people say, well, this new covenant, if it's Israel's new covenant, then how come we are drinking of the cup of the new covenant, etc.? Well, because they haven't accepted Jesus, and we have. And see, because Jesus Christ died for your sin. He died for the sins of the world. Now, you were no more saved just the day before you received Christ as your Savior. You were never more saved than if he had never died. His death meant nothing to you. But when he died on the cross, he made it possible for you to believe. And when you believe, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a part of that. You're receiving some of the blessings now from that new covenant. Israel one day will accept it too. They could have accepted when he came. They didn't accept. When he comes, he said, you'll never see me again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, Matthew 23. When they say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, when they receive him, then they will enter into the blessings of this new covenant, their new covenant. In the meantime, all the families of the earth are being blessed through this new covenant. Now, all of that was to make sure we understand that the new covenant has replaced the Mosaic. It has not replaced the Abrahamic, the Palestinian, or the Davidic. None of that has been replaced. It has replaced the Mosaic. There's that new covenant. Because the Mosaic covenant has been done away. Now, I know this is heavy, but stay with it. If you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that would be a good thing to do. I have it written out here because I can write it out in larger type. 16 now. I'm working up to 25, 24. Here's what it says. Who also has made us, speaking of Jesus, who has also made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? I'm not going to read any farther. I'm just reading until you got turned there. Now, I want to talk about that. If you had the place to do it, you could make two columns. One column, the law, and one column, the new covenant. Put it anywhere. There are some contrasts here between the law and the new covenant. Verse 6. He's made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. So he has contrasts letter and Spirit. Verse 6. And then he says, also in verse 6, the letter kills. So the Mosaic covenant kills. It condemns. It doesn't do anything to help. It just condemns. The new covenant gives life. The Spirit gives life. Notice, he has called that new covenant the Spirit. The letter, the Spirit. That's going to be important later, because I'm going to give you some brand new heresy. Nobody else has ever said it. I'm going to say it. That's what scares me to death, because nobody else has thought of it. But stay with it. The Spirit gives life. Not the Holy Spirit. It's not capital, is it? Wouldn't matter if it was. It's not capital in the Greek. All right, so letter kills. The Spirit gives life. The new covenant gives life. Then in verse 7, he calls it the ministration of death, as opposed to the ministration of the Spirit. The Spirit. Holy Spirit? No. The Spirit is the new covenant. Very important, as we're going to see. Verse 9. The ministration of condemnation. Also, the ministration of righteousness. So, condemnation, righteousness. Verse 10. The law was glorious at the time, but the new covenant is more glorious. It says the law had glory, came from God. Of course it had glory. But the new covenant is more glorious. So we have glory, more glory. And then verse 15. He says, to this day, whenever Moses is read. Moses is read? I want to do some reading. Come here, Moses. I want to read you. No? Is that what he's saying? No. Don't read Moses. Moses is another name for the law. When Moses is read, when the law is read. So he calls the law Moses. He calls the law a person. All right. When Moses is read, and then look at verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Capital S. And when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Here's my heresy. The Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that new covenant. Ooh. This is a problem verse, verse 17. The Lord is the Spirit. If that's the Holy Spirit, you're saying Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Blow your, and you ought to hear people talking about this. It must be this or this or this or this. It probably refers to the oneness of, come on. The Lord is that Spirit. What has he been talking about? The Spirit is the new covenant. Moses is the old covenant. Jesus is the new covenant. That's all he's saying. Get that capital S out of there. And where the new covenant is, there is liberty. Make sense? Sure. That verse can be explained if you take out those two capital S's and see that the Spirit is the new covenant. And I love that. Then he says, we all with unveiled faces, this is verse 18, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the new covenant. That's how we get from glory to glory, by the new covenant, the Word. This new covenant. You're not as excited as I am. I love that. I think that explains that whole thing. Yeah. Moses, Jesus. Moses, the new covenant. Moses, the old covenant. Jesus, the new covenant. That's what he's saying. Well, I'm not even halfway through. B, it has been replaced. Hebrews chapter 8, 8 to 13. Talking about the old covenant, he says, for finding fault with them, he says, Hebrews chapter 8, says the old covenant didn't do it, but finding fault with them, there's nothing wrong with the old covenant, finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This is from Jeremiah 31, 600 years before Christ, say. That's why he says, I will make. Say, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them out of by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. What covenant was that? Mosaic. Because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel and the house of Judah after those days, says the Lord. Now, verse 10. Verse 10 says, it is inward and not outward. The new covenant is inward and not outward. The old covenant was outward. You know, here's a set of laws. Do it. You know? And now Jerry Falwell has made a million of them. Did you see that, lady? He's got a million of them. He's going to send them out to everybody. And if they run out of those, he'll run another million. He wants the Ten Commandments to be in everybody's house. Okay, just blot out the number 4. I have no problem with that. But he says the new covenant is inward and not outward. Inside. Not outward. It's not something written on the wall. It's inside. Verse 11, he says, it is innate and not learned. It is innate. All will know me from the least to the greatest. Verse 11. All will know me from the least to the greatest. He's talking now about when Israel accepts this new covenant in the kingdom. Everybody in the kingdom is going to know the Lord. You will not have to go and say, I want to tell you about Jesus. Oh, I know about him. Everybody knows about him. Everybody in the whole world is going to know about Jesus. See? So it will be innate, not learned. Verse 12 says, there will be forgiveness and not covering. In the Old Testament, sins were covered. The blood of bulls and goats would cover the sin, but Hebrews 10:4, it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. It was just covered. But here he says, I will remember their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Verse 12. So it's forgiveness, not covering. Inward, not outward. Innate, not learned. Forgiveness, not covering. And new, not old. Verse 13. In that he says a new covenant, that word covenant is in italics, meaning it's not there in the original. In that he said new, he has made the first one old. New. He quoted that whole section here to get for one word. Sound like a good old Baptist preacher. The one word that we talked about. In that he says new, he has made the first one old. And that which is old, he says, is already vanishing away. And the only reason he didn't say it's already gone is because the temple is still standing. And they're still offering sacrifices, AD 67. about to fall away. Pretty soon, here's going to come Titus, and everything will be gone. It's ready to vanish away. It hasn't vanished away yet. But that's his whole point. The law gone away, replaced by the new covenant. Now, the priesthood has been superseded. Now, I'm not going to read all of these, but verse 11 says this. And this is Hebrews chapter 7. You're right there. Hebrews 7. Therefore, he says, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek? Now, make two more columns, and we'll understand chapter 7. Old covenant, new covenant. Old covenant, new covenant. Old covenant, verse 11 says, was under the order of Aaron. Under the order of Aaron. You had to be of Aaron's line, the Levitical line, in order to be a priest. The new covenant is under the order of Melchizedek. Just do like I do, M-E-L. You don't need all the rest of it. The order of Melchizedek. That's why I never learned how to spell it. Secondly, the old covenant is of the tribe of Levi. Tribe of Levi. What tribe was Jesus born in? Judah. Judah. Jesus could not be a high priest if the law is still in effect. You want to keep the law? Fine. You can't have Jesus. It's just wild. People hang on to the law. They can't do that. Well, they do. Tribe of Levi, tribe of Judah. Third, verses 16 and 17 say, the law was of a physical commandment. Mosaic law. Physical. You could touch it. You could smell it. You could taste it. The new covenant is of the power of an endless life. So you have a physical commandment on the one hand, the law. The new covenant, the power of an endless life. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, he said, quoting the psalm. And I lost it. Number four, he says, verse 18, that the old covenant was annulled. Annulled. Ended. The old covenant was ended. Annulled. From the text. And then the new covenant lasts forever. Old covenant ended, new covenant lasts forever. 19. The old covenant is called the law. Old covenant is called the law. The new covenant is called a better hope. A better hope. Well, I say it's better. You know, the law said, you do that, continually. Bringing in of a better hope changed it. And then verse 22, he doesn't say anything about the old covenant, but he does say that Jesus has become the guarantor or the surety of a better covenant. It's a better covenant, better than the old covenant. That's about the law. Now, that's 8A. 8B. In 5 minutes. The chief requirement of the new covenant, in fact, of the old covenant as well, is love. Matthew 22, verse 34, a Sadducee, a lawyer, came and talked to Jesus. And he said, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And I can imagine the Sadducee saying, well, I do that, of course. And you do too. Oh, how I love Jesus. And patting my foot, really. I love Jesus. You know? That's what he was saying. Oh, I do that. And then Jesus said, I know you didn't ask, but I want to tell you another one. The second one. That's the first. The second one is, love your neighbor as yourself. I don't want to hear about that. I just wanted the first one. I don't want that second one. Well, you get it anyway. Love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. Everything in the Old Testament hangs on, love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. And let me tell you something. That is what the New Covenant hangs on as well. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, he says, when you do that, you do well. Do you like the British comedy? There's British things on Channel 2. Are you being served? You ever watch that one? Are you being served? Mr. Grace comes down the stairs, falling down, everybody holding him up. You did very well. And then what do they say? Thank you, Mr. Grace. That sounds like something we ought to have right here. When we hear well done, Paul said, I expect to hear well done, good and faithful servant. And one day we're going to hear that. Well done. You've done well. You have loved the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. You did well. What's your response going to be? Thank you, Mr. Grace. Because that's the only way we'll do it, by the grace of God. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Do it by the grace of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. You know, the simplest is the best. Oh, you get all kind of turned around here and there. But the simplest is the best. And the scripture is like that. The scripture is simple, he said after he did all this stuff on the overhead. But it is. Salvation is simple. How are you saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's that simple. And it's so simple, most people trip over it and they want to make it harder. You know what the Christian life is? What's the simple thing about the Christian life? Learn the Word and do the Word. That's it. Oh, well, let's have a seminar on the Christian life. Oh, my, what do you know? Why? I know, I'm too simple. But that's what the Christian life is about. The Christian life is simply doing the Word. Yeah. Do the Word. Entertainment aside, do the Word. And the simplest thing about the Christian life is this. If you didn't know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you do well.